This is the third Sunday of Lent, Cycle B. Our first reading is from Exodus 21 through 17. And this is what we're all familiar with. This is the Ten Commandments and the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses from Mount Sinai. And I want to start with the section 2056 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The word Decalogue means literally 10 words. God revealed these 10 words to his people on the holy mountain. They were written with the finger of God, unlike the other commandments written by Moses. They are preeminently the words of God. They are handed on to us in the books of Exodus, as we have here today, and Deuteronomy. Beginning with the Old Testament, the sacred books refer to the 10 words. But it is in the new covenant in Jesus Christ that their full meaning will be revealed.
We also need to look too at the little bit of the history of this passage today. This is the powerful covenant that God gives to his people, the covenant of Sinai. And he's given it to his people, the covenant that he's their God. And you have to take into place of what happened. At that time, there were all kinds of gods. There was a God for the light, God for the darkness, God for the wind, God for the rain. And so when he started this saying that I will be your God, the first thing they thought was, well, this is another commandment that we have. This is for another issue of a God. And he was not saying that. He was saying, I am your God, and you will have no other God beside me. Now, that was pretty final. That was pretty judgmental. He was right there, and he let them know that. And he said, as your God, I will do this, and as my people, you will do that. And it was clearly laid out, and he took his 10 commandments. As Marie just pointed out, the Decalogue and such. He took these 10 commandments. And he gave them 10 commandments on how to live with one another. But it was taken in the wrong term. The 10 commandments was a blueprint for living. It was not a method of salvation. It's interesting we say that. Because the same thing then is the same thing today. Salvation comes through a relationship. Salvation comes with a relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship is the key to salvation. We don't go to heaven because of what we do. We go to heaven because of who we accept and believe. Salvation is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And they starts right off with the first of the 10 commandments, and it's one that takes up most of the scripture itself. Is in fact in the first three, they take up over half of the what we're talking about in this commandments. So the importance of loving God above anything really takes precedence here, and it starts off. He says, you shall not love other gods besides me or have idols. Now, we talk about idols. What's an idol? An idol is anything that you place more important in your life than God. That may take up more of your time than God or whatever. So we have to really look at ourselves to make sure that we have no idols besides God. We say we love God with our words, but it has to be with deed. It has to be by what we show and what we're thinking, how much we love God. And so he starts with that. And the second one, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And he says, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. We can't use how we use that name so, you hear it so often, and you hear it in movies and TV, and people use the name of God in vain. They use it in vain. They don't use it to build up or to, but they use his name so blatantly, and it's frightening when you hear this. And I know I cringe when I hear people use the name of Jesus when it's not used in the proper context of loving God and love a neighbor. And the third command, to remember to keep holy the Sabbath, and that you can work 6 days, but on the Sabbath day is the day of the Lord, and the day to give to the Lord. How many of us have to stop and reflect what we do on, we call our Sunday is the Sabbath day for us. Saturday was the Jews, so Sunday is for us. But that day, how often do we think more of maybe our idol of work or whatever to cover up what we're doing, and we have to stop and reflect. What do I do on Sunday? Do I love my neighbor? Do I love those? Do I spend time with my family? Do I love God by being loving to others on Sunday? Do I spend more time with relating with people than I do doing work or doing other things? So we have to stop and reflect, what am I doing? How can I best fulfill these first three commandments, which are so important in loving God? Because we show how much we love God by how much we love each other.
That's right, man. The first three commandments are a response to God. The first three commandments are how we live our life by loving God. And the last seven commandments are how we live our life by loving one another, loving our fellow man. And we come back to what you just said about the importance of that. If God doesn't become the center of your life, and how do people know that? It comes that through by your actions, in what you do and what you say. People can really tell what you believe by the way you live your life. And if the center of your life is God, and in our case as Christians, the center of our life has to be Jesus Christ, then your life will reflect his presence, his power, and his love. People will see that. You can get a tremendous illness, get sick, and be in great pain, and still the oneness of him comes first. Job showed us that very prominently. No matter how painful he was, he still did not deny his beloved God. And you and I are in that same place. And Marie just brought a very powerful talking about that second commandment. That shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That can only be when you have this deep personal relationship with God, that you would make every effort not to offend the holy name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And then we go on to the next commandment, the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, there's a promise with that, in honoring a parent, in honoring your father and mother. There's that promise of having a long life. And so many of us can shorten our lives by not loving and honoring our fathers and mothers. And if you don't have your earthly parents, it starts with your earthly parents. And then, you know, as it began in the beginning, to our Heavenly Father, you honor your Heavenly Father and you honor your Heavenly Mother, our Blessed Mother, by loving Jesus and by loving God and by loving one another. And it goes on to tell us, you shall not kill. You know, more people are killed by the mouth than they are by the gun. So many people, you know, in the abortion issue, we're killing babies left and right. there is a commandment here, you shall not kill. It is so clear. It's very simple, but it's right there. And so we need to really reflect on this, and we need to stand, we need to come forth and stand up for the unborn.
A question society is asking now, and specifically on the issue of abortion, who is worse, the one who murders the unborn child or the one who does nothing to prevent it, who does nothing to intervene, who does nothing to protest the outrage? Who is worse, the one who robs the bank or the one who drives the car and gets away with all the money? Who is worse? And that's why these Ten Commandments are so very important to us here today. This is not something old that we look back for history. This is alive and fresh in our life today.
And they're all fulfilled in the one commandment, to love the Lord, that the Lord Jesus left, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself.